Hi, I'm Ros from World Have Your Say. This is a download from the BBC. If you'd like to read more information and our terms of use, take a look at bbcworldservice.com/podcasts. Here's today's show. Welcome to the BBC's World Have Your Say. For those of you who've had the misfortune to watch the video of four Nigerian students being beaten and burned to death, what you've seen will not easily be forgotten. Naked, muddied, bleeding, and very clearly alive, they lie on the floor with tires around their waists. Not long afterwards, they were set alight and a crowd watched them, chanting, "Die, die, die." And one of those who lost his life was a young man called Lloyd. And Lloyd's father is Toku Mike, a broadcaster with Rivers Radio in Nigeria, and we can speak to him now. Toku, thank you very much for speaking to us, and we're terribly sorry for the loss of your son.
Thank you very much.
When did you first hear that something terrible had happened?
It was on Friday, the 5th of October, 2012, early in the morning at about 7, when it was a distress call came to us. And the call came through, my wife picked the call, and the person on the line said, your son is being beaten to death at Uniport along with three of his friends. So what would be at that point in time was to rush quickly, you know, to the scene. It's quite a distance between where we live and the University of Port Harcourt. So we drove quickly down there. It was somehow difficult for us to locate the scene. But by the grace of God, we were able to locate the area, and we got there. The four kids were already dead. When we got there, actually, we met a mammoth crowd watching the scene. There are also JTF. So I presented myself as the father of one of the sons, and I was allowed to identify my son. It was so shocking to me that I saw my son as one of the boys lynched. My wife also was able to identify the other three, and we discovered that three of them were dead. One was still breathing, but the four were able to organize an ambulance to pick them to University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital. The one that was breathing also gave up the ghost. Hello.
We're listening to you.
Hello.
We're listening to you, Toku.
Okay, you're listening.
Of course we are,
okay.
And we're terribly sorry for this unimaginably difficult situation that you found yourself in. Toku, you said, by the grace of God, you were able to find the area. But do you really think that God is having any role in a society where this can happen?
What did you say? I didn't hear you well.
You said, by the grace of God, you managed to find your son, even though his life had passed. Do you think that God can really be playing a role in a society where this is happening?
No, I wouldn't say that God has a role in the death of the kids. What actually I said was that by the grace of God, we were able to locate the scene where the kids were slaughtered, you know, and lynched. So it was actually difficult for us to locate a place. It's a place I haven't been to before. So it was difficult for us to locate a place, but were able to get to the scene, and by the time we got there, they were already gone.
Did you speak to any of the people in the crowd who had helped to kill your son?
Yeah, I did. I spoke to one or two persons. Even the JTF there, I tried to find out what actually the children did, but nobody was able to give me a clue. Nobody was able to do that.
And did you ever imagine that something this barbaric could happen in your country?
Never in my life. I never, ever thought about it. I never, never thought about something like that could happen in my country in the 21st century. Never. This is a barbaric. This is a barbaric. It's unimaginable.
Has anyone been arrested?
And Toku, we've been talking about Lloyd and the terrible way that he lost his life, but tell us about him as a young man. What was he studying? What was he like?
My son Lloyd was actually studying civil engineering, 200 level, year two. And he's only 18. He got into university at the age of 16.
And Toku, he clearly had a great many hopes for his life in Nigeria, and he was studying hard. Now that he's been lost in this way, do you still have hopes for Nigeria?
Well, I wouldn't say. I do not. I have no hope in Nigeria, my country. I still have hope in Nigeria, my country. I still believe that justice will be done. I still believe that what has happened to my son and his friend will never, never happen again if the right steps are taken. So I still have hope in my country, Nigeria.
Toku, we really do appreciate you talking to us, and from everyone listening to you around the world on the BBC, all the best to you and your family at this incredibly difficult time. Thank you very much for speaking to us. That's Toku Mike, a broadcaster.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Just as I told you, would you like to talk to the other family? They are also here with me.
I would like to, if that's possible. I didn't realise. Yes, please.
Yeah, free, right?
Yeah, we can speak to someone. If you're with another relative, we'll happily speak to them if they would be happy to speak to us.
Okay. Yeah, ready to speak. Okay. Just hang on.
Hello.
Hello, sir. My name's Roz. I'm at the BBC in London. What's your name, please?
My name is Iringa Steven in Yedma.
And sir, I understand that very sadly one of your relatives was also killed in this attack. Tell us about him.
Yes, my son, his name is Chadika, lost in Iringa, a second year student of theater arts. And that same university with three of other of his friends were killed on that Friday, 5th of October.
And sir, how do you...
Before then, we have not known.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's a slight delay on the line. I wonder, obviously, you are feeling such a terrible sense of loss at the moment. Do you also feel angry towards Nigeria that this has happened?
Yeah, having to lose my son after 20 years, because he's 20 years Having to have lost him is enough to cultivate or generate anger in me. And then looking back, that from day one he was brought into this war to the last day when he was heinously killed, brutalized, to the point that I've never witnessed in my life. And that through reading books or watching or even movies, I've never seen that level of callousness being meted on an innocent soul, a child. So it brings about bad blood, anger. And that anger will remain with me until justice is done on this matter.
Well, you say you want justice. There have been 13 arrests in connection with the death of your son and Toku's son and the other two young men who died. What would you like to be done to the people who killed your son? What punishment do you think they deserve?
I personally want the law to take its own course. If in Nigeria constitution we have a law that allows or disallows people to be murdered in cold blood in a barbaric manner, let that law take its course. I want a situation where whatever it is that is international law or local law is about killing a human being like a chicken or a rat or a mosquito, that law should be meted on those who perpetrated this honest act. That is my wish and my prayer.
Sir, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us. And it's certainly with a heavy heart that we hear you talking about the loss of your son. Thank you very much indeed, and thanks to Toku as well, both men describing the barbaric situation in which their sons and two other young students died, killed, as that gentleman just described, as if you would kill a rat or a chicken. And there are three Nigerians sitting here in the studio in London listening to those two men speaking so eloquently so soon after the loss of their sons. And the mood is heavy in the studio because these are difficult things for anyone to hear, and perhaps more difficult still for Nigerians to hear. Perhaps you could just each introduce yourselves and share your thoughts as you listen to those fathers describe their sons losing their lives to a Nigerian mob.
My name is Michael Ehioze Ediai. I'm a blogger and I blog on gegelovespolitics.blogspot.com. And I'd firstly like to extend my condolences to the families of those who have lost their lives. It's a very sad time, and it's a very sad time for Nigerians in particular.
But it's not a normal way to lose some people, and it's bizarre to call murders normal. They, of course, are always extraordinary, but these were more extraordinary still. The callousness, the brutality was profoundly uncomfortable to watch, if those of you listening have seen the video.
Well, yes, I saw bits of the video. It was traumatic. I couldn't sleep all through Sunday night. But what we must also remember is that this has taken place because the government has failed in its duty to maintain law and order. And in a society where there's no law and order, people take the law into their hands.
My name is Obi, or Obi Emelonye. I'm a UK-based, Nigerian-born filmmaker, and the bulk of my work is done in Nigeria. It is events like this that really make me ashamed to be a Nigerian, because in this day and age, in the 21st century, a bunch of kids, you know, cannot be cornered, and in the presence of a lot of people. It wasn't done in behind closed doors. It's not something that was done, you know, in a secluded warehouse or in the forest where nobody saw it. People were standing by, watching, videoing what was going on. It's the height of barbarism, and I feel for the families of these people who've been so, you know, needlessly taken away. It's sad. It's really, really sad. And, you know, in a country where the security situation is not what it should be after 52 years of independence, it breeds something like this. Something like this cannot happen in the UK. It cannot happen in more civilized society. And it's really, really unfortunate. And you know, my heart goes out to the families of these people. And I know how angry they will be feeling right now, because as a father, I probably will not have the kind of control that they have shown in this kind of matter. I would probably take the laws into my own hands to do something that is not very nice. But it's the kind of barbarism that has driven this kind of act I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm just getting emotional here.
My name is Ali Sukoko. I'm a human rights defender. I was at the forefront of the campaign, the international campaign to return Nigeria to civil rule. What has been my driving force has been the respect of the Nigerian life and the respect for the rights of my people, the rights of humanity. I am deeply shaken by what I'm hearing today, because I've not seen the YouTube. I've been kind of locked in the issue of the flood and the suffering of our people. But I've just heard this. And I say that I'm not surprised, because this has been long coming. The Nigerian situation has been one that life don't mean anything. Ross is here. I'm a constant person to the BBC World, have you seen? And Ross will agree that I've always said that what Nigeria faces is so dangerous that we cannot continue to sweep it to one side. We have seen other YouTubes where a pastor was slapping and beating a little girl in front of congregation. This was hurting, but the congregation were laughing and they were sharing the pastor on. And it was like it was normal. As painful as it is, I feel that we are dealing with a country where humanity has been destroyed and our people's life mean nothing. I don't know. It's like all the effort is coming to nothing. I hate to say I said so, but this is very painful. This is so painful, and I think I will just stop for now. I don't know what to say. I'm deeply sorry. I'm sorry not just for the parents who have suffered this, but I'm sorry for the people who did this that thought this is normal. And I'm also sorry for the people who stayed there and watched it and videoed it and felt that this was normal, because that means this is what Nigeria has become.
But is it okay if I interrupt at this point? The problem, Alice, which is where I disagree with perhaps you and Obi, is I don't think there's anything wrong with the Nigerian people. They're human beings, and it's a natural reaction you'd expect from anyone in the world. Where you have a government that does not take security seriously, people take the law into their own hands. So there is nothing unusual about what Nigerians have done. It's a natural reaction to the absence of law and order.
But even if you take the law into your own hands, these four were suspected of stealing laptops. There's no proof they did it. But even if they did do it,
yes,
beating someone to death, dragging them through to the streets and burning them alive is not a proportionate response.
It's not normal. And actually, I refused to watch the YouTube because I couldn't watch it.
Before we carry on, I must say this, because there'll be people listening around the world, many of whom will have heard about this story, some of whom won't. If any of you are listening and are going to find the video, and it's not hard to find, be warned that as graphic a video as you will be able to find online. I lasted about 5 to 10 seconds before I thought, I don't need to see any more of this. So all of you, if you're thinking about looking for the video, please be warned, it's not comfortable viewing at all.
Yes, as I was saying, a blogger friend of mine, Linda Ikeji, published some of the photographs. I think she was sensitive enough to take out the video. And I was reading some of the responses that people had underneath the photographs. And one of them, which is very, very important, a gentleman wrote a very long comment. And in that comment, he tried to explain that the young man, I don't know which of them, was owed about 200,000 naira, which is just under £1,000.
Oh, yes.
And he'd gone to collect this money from this guy who was giving him the runaround. And when this guy didn't have the money, in fact, he went early so that he catches him before he leaves the house. Mm-hmm. So when he found that he didn't have the money, he was in his local area. So he kind of engendered the support of a vigilante group and said the guy confiscated the laptop and said, look, if you don't give me back my money, I'll take this laptop until you give me back the money.
But to some extent, do the circumstances matter?
No. I'm just painting the context so that it kind of puts some... Because people will wonder, why are these guys armed robbers? You know, they're not. He went to collect a debt.
And certainly friends of the young men who died also have confirmed that story, that they had gone to collect money. Before all of us here in London carry on this discussion, let's quickly bring in some guests at Radio Port Harcourt, because they are joining us live. And this incident happened to students from Uniport, or the University of Port Harcourt. Let's bring in Kayu Remu, who's a reporter at the station. Kaya, I wonder how your listeners have reacted to this.
No, it's been very saddening, and people were very upset about it. That and the phrase they are using to call it in Nigeria is jungle justice, and that things like this should not happen again. And people are very upset about it, and everybody is just watching that justice must just be done, and that this is not the first time it's been happening, and that a lot of innocent souls might also be lost in the process. So basically, people in Nigeria or people in Port Harcourt, my listeners, are actually very, very upset about it. These guys are promising undergraduates, and two of them are even in a group that is participating in a music festival. Their songs are online now, some of their songs, and it's just so pathetic, and people are just sad.
Well, we appreciate the chance to join up with Radio Port Harcourt. I know that you're with three students who we're going to speak to just after the news on today's World Have Your Say. I should mention, because a lot of people are pointing to the lack of quality policing in Nigeria as being the root cause of incidents like this, that we have requested several interviews with different policemen in Nigeria. One particularly friendly one did say he would be happy to take part, but only if his commander said yes. His commander has said no. So if you are a Nigerian policeman and would like to take part in this discussion, you're very welcome.
With bbc.com/news, you get the latest news stories anytime you like. bbc.com/news offers you the most comprehensive news coverage in the world, and its stories are easy to search and navigate. Whether you're interested in science, health, technology or business, the bbc.com/news website can offer it all. It also gives you the opportunity to listen live to our news output or check the latest breaking news with our minute-by-minute news feed. If you want to take the news with you, we offer you downloadable podcasts to listen at your convenience, or archive programming, so you can catch up on the programmes you've missed. Or you can access bbc.com/news on your mobile phone. bbc.com/news also lets you give feedback direct to our programme teams. All this content, coverage and opportunity makes the BBC the world leader in news coverage online. bbc.com/news.
This is the BBC's World Have Your Say. Many thousands of you have watched, many more thousands have heard about a video of four Nigerian students being beaten and burned to death. We've spoken to two of the fathers who have lost sons in the last few days, and we're discussing what we're learning about Nigerian society.
We've heard the news from the BBC. Now it's your turn.
You can post on facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay.
Or get in touch via Twitter at BBC_WHYS.
Welcome to World Have Your Say.
We're discussing the killing of four young students in Nigeria by a mob. They were suspected of being thieves, though nothing at all has been proven. And many of you are reflecting on what this barbaric and callous attack is telling us about Nigeria. Omuteyu in Lagos says on the Nigeria Exchange News website, since 1999, Nigeria and Nigerians have been on a perilous socio-economic trajectory. The result is anger in the land. God save Nigeria, he says. Lag City, posting on YouTube, writes, the murderers in this video know they live in a country where no one, where one can get away with almost anything. This is what happens when law and order is optional or non-existent. And Etiabong, also in Nigeria, posting on the World Have Your Say Facebook page, writes, this has got nothing to do with Nigeria as a whole. This doesn't reflect what happens in all parts of Nigeria every day. Unfortunately, this happened in a community where there are many hoodlums, commonly known as area boys. And those of you on the programme who are Nigerian can correct me, but as I understand it, Port Harcourt is not the only place in Nigeria which has area boys.
If you don't want to make an international call, text country code 44778620608 and put call me in your message.
Fidelis Mba works for the BBC's African English service, which makes programmes like Focus on Africa. And Fidelis, you come from Port Harcourt, so I'm sure you've spoken to friends and family back home. How have they and our listeners been reacting to this attack?
Well, it's a case of people in shock. Some are actually not in shock because it's actually something that, to me personally, I've been reporting from the Niger Delta since 2004. And it's actually not coming to me as a shock, so to speak, because of the prevailing circumstance in that region. Even before the amnesty program in the Niger Delta, we've had cases of people, you know, more like taking laws into their hands. But this case of just mobbing students, actually, and lynching them literally and, burning them alive is something that has not really happened, to students. But to other people in the society, yes, something close to this had happened in the past and had gone unreported before now.
So rough justice is not something new in the Delta?
Not all that new, because before now, before the amnesty program especially, we had cases of militants in the Niger Delta region taking laws into their hands, beating up people, more like wreaking havoc, blocking oil installations, and actually more like literally being governing, taking over governance, in their local communities. But with the amnesty program, some of them had actually more like relocated from these communities and were enjoying, in quotes, better life in other bigger cities. So this coming now that amnesty is in place is actually what is more like worrying for people, that maybe this is a case of people in the Niger Delta returning to the dark old days.
Well, I will say very quickly that to make this a Niger Delta issue is actually missing the point, because I am from the Niger Delta and I am a campaigner for what's going on in the Niger Delta, though I'm not a professional Niger Deltan. I would say to you that what is happening in Nigeria, what happened in Port Harcourt, is not something that is flowing from just the problem of militancy in the region. What we have in the region in Nigeria as a whole is that we lack effective governance. The people that are actually supposed to maintain the peace and order, I can sit here and give you instances where policeman has actually sexually, and this is in Anambra State, sexually destroyed a woman and then say, take it away. We have also seen, also in the University of Imo, where a student, five students raped a woman, videoed it and put it in the YouTube and sent it out. And everybody said, that's all right.
No, in this case,
I disagree with that.
I'm not holding anything against people in the Niger Delta. I'm from that region. And, I have people.
Can I just explain
that? And what I'm talking about is this particular incident and what could have actually resulted in something like this. The other cases you're talking about, people were not lynched to death. People were not burnt alive.
The point I'm making, yes.
People were not burnt alive. People were not, it was not a case of taking of human lives of people, just people, you know, you were talking about people being paraded around the community for 3 hours, you know, before they were actually killed. These other cases have been a case of isolated cases. Yes, they're not good cases, but isolated cases of people maybe being raped in
can I just come in there?
People actually knowing what happened.
Fidelis, can I just come in there?
Yeah.
I must say that it is common knowledge that in Nigeria, regardless of which part of the country you are, that the standard way to kill thieves that are captured is to torture them to death and burn them alive.
Yes.
The first time I saw this happen was when I was 5 years old. If you ask the average Nigerian, they will tell you this happens on a daily basis across the country. So there's nothing to do with Niger Delta.
Yes.
It is a Nigeria problem.
And I'm a very average Nigerian, and I can tell you that the first time I saw this in Lagos, a gentleman stole a stick of cigarette.
Yes.
And they beat him, put a rope around his neck, tied him, put a tire around his neck, and burnt him.
Yes.
And I was pleading. And the thing about Nigeria is if you make the mistake of standing on the side of morality and say, please, guys, this is going to the extreme.
You become
a victim.
Yes.
You run the gauntlet of being burnt as well because you're colliding with this.
This is a moral... Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologise. I was just... You were mentioning Lagos. We're going to bring in some guests in Lagos. We're going to Port Harcourt shortly. But Chikeze, who's from Nigeria, is writing on our Facebook page, and I anticipated a comment like this coming in. He says, BBC World, have your say. When a crazy American starts killing innocent people in a cinema or in a Sikh temple or on a college campus, do you ask the same question about America? I attended the same school, Uniport, the University of Port Harcourt, some years ago, and can assure you that the murderers are a very tiny minority. How can you paint the whole nation red? Well, Chikeze, first of all, when there was that shooting in Colorado in a cinema, we did reflect for several days on World Have Your Say about whether this was raising broader issues for American society. So certainly we had similar conversations, but there are Nigerians now suggesting, Michael, that this whole conversation shouldn't happen. This is one isolated, terrible incident, and from it, we should draw no broader conclusion.
One of the things about Nigerians is we have to get to the point where we start having honest conversations with each other.
Yes.
And we all know that these things happen on a regular basis. So rather than sweep it under the carpet or try to compare ourselves with America, let's address the issues and say, why is this happening in our country? And it is because law and order has broken down, and we need to get the police and the army to do their jobs. That's all it is.
Well, those who died were students in Port Harcourt. Let's go back to Radio Port Harcourt. We've already spoken to Coyote, who's still with us. We can also now bring in Mazilucky Chukwuladi, who's the Deputy Senate President of the Niger Delta Students' Union. Charles is also with us. He's a student activist. And Anefa Telema, who is also a student activist. All of you, you're very welcome. Mazi, Charles and Anefa, I'm interested to hear the three of you tell me your emotions when you heard about how these fellow students died.
Okay, this is the voice of Mazi Lucky Chukwuladi. By the grace of God, I'm the Deputy Senate President of the Niger Delta Students Union Government worldwide. Honestly, as I speak with you, this issue is something we came out to condemn in its totality. It's something that is a shame that an oppressed is oppressing an under-oppressed in Nigeria.
Yes.
So far, this issue is resulting because the nation, Nigeria itself, has failed as a nation. At this time, we are looking onto this nation, asking ourselves whether we can still exist together as a nation. The society is disintegrating. The Nigerian policing system is non-effective. As I speak with you, we are calling for the immediate sack of the police divisional head that is in that place. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're on to Comrade Anefa Telema, George Will. I'm a student activist and equally a political critic. First of all, I want to say it's quite pathetic and a gross exhibition of one team mediocrity that these students should be killed in cold blood. But I think there are certain factors that have warranted this. Ranging from, first of all, lack of respect of our students. Societal values are so bad that students don't have the kind of respect they used to have before now. Before now, if you're a student, there are certain respect attached to your person. But now the society has gone so bad that those who happens to be educated are now valueless.
Comrade, let me interrupt you because this is a fascinating point. You're suggesting there's a particular lack of respect for those who choose to seek out education. Now, that is an area that I've never heard raised before. Michael, you're shaking your head.
Michael, let me hear from you a moment,
and then we'll come back to you, comrade.
Honourable comrade, I disagree. It is nothing to do with lack of respect for students. Mm-hmm. There's just a general lack of respect for anybody in Nigeria.
For human life.
Yes, because the government has failed to do its duty. People from all walks of life have been killed by mob action because the police has failed to take action. That's all it is. Sorry, comrade.
And Charles, what about you?
Yeah, actually, my heart goes out to the family because it's not easy. Yeah, and I was encouraged by the way the father of the disease reacted this by having a courage and saying much. But I for one, also have to put some of the blame on the students themselves, because if you watch those video clips, who got those video clips, there are some people around that place who were taking those video clips and all those things. Even if police have refused to come to that place, we have what we call student effective community policing themselves. Because in the past, you cannot brutalize a student and give him such a jungle justice. The student from their own state, from their own university, will come out in mob action as well against those people who are perpetrating this act. I think the student also have to share part of this blame. This is what I'm saying. Because in the spirit of unionism, we should be our brother's keeper. What happens when these people were being brutalized in their very presence? What did they do as response to that? At least I was thinking that. They would have reached out to their colleagues.
But Charles, this is a question to ask the... Why was more not done to save these men? But as we've already touched on, incredibly difficult to say to a mob who are in the process of killing four people, hold on, please stop.
No, but again, you're looking at a community, you're looking at people who are armed. The students, to what extent? Alo community is a community of about 45,000 people. We're not talking about a community, though not everybody in the community took part in this. I know Alo community very well. And you're talking about a few students, because Uniport is just is a university just bordering the community. And if the students who are living, some of them who are living off campus, now go to confront the community, it will have escalated. So it's not really entirely an all student, a blame. And again, you're looking at the fact that how many police people in the Niger Delta are actually out to protect lives and property. What they do most of them are escorts for expatriate workers in the Niger Delta.
And it's worth adding,
they don't even have enough people to police the environment.
We've alluded to this, but it's worth reminding people who don't know Nigeria so well that the Niger Delta is the area closest to where Nigeria's oil comes out of the ground. And as such, that particular part of Nigeria has been affected in a particular way by the oil industry.
I think there's a general malaise in Nigeria, that of what I call impunity. Recklessness.
Yes.
Because, most people, depending on how connected you are, can get away with anything, And it's that impunity that informs this kind of recklessness, where you could mob somebody because you feel, I'm a chief or I know the president. And that's what perpetrated this. But when you look at what happened in this particular incident, and you begin to see that it's not peculiar to the Niger Delta. No. But the Niger Delta situation made it worse, because there's a lot of arms in that area. There's a restlessness in that area. And there's a bit of mob action that controls, just like Fidelis said, that people who were originally activists, military activists, have now kind of demilitarized, but they still have equipment and they still have the guns and stuff to terrorize people. So in an area where they've become little lords, area boys as they call them, they can get away with anything, with impunity.
Some people are still questioning whether this video and this attack has anything to tell us about Nigeria. M. Salis in Saudi Arabia tweets, "The question of Nigeria and the video are not related." Anthony has tweeted as saying, "How is this video and the unity of Nigeria the same thing? This was plain mob murder. It's got nothing to do with tribal or ethnic division." Mofaluke in Lagos writes, "I cannot be patriotic this morning." And Farida has got in touch through our Facebook page, facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay, if you'd like to take part there. He writes, "This used to be a great African country that my parents were raised in, but now, top to bottom, we're just unorganised, beyond civilization."
That is correct.
He says, "Well, Alice agrees with it." Let's see if our two guests who are going to join us from Lagos do as well. Atom and Ochekwu are with us. Perhaps first of all, the two of you, you could just introduce yourselves to everyone listening, please.
Hello, my name is Atom Lim. I'm a
a journalist, a blogger. I work for the Africa Leadership Forum in Ottawa, Nigeria.
My name is Okechukwu Nwangoma. I'm Program and Advocacy Coordinator at the Network on Police Reform in Nigeria based in Lagos.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. We can hear the generator whirring away in the background there in Lagos. Atom, what's your response to this attack? Quite a few people are pushing back against World Have Your Say today and saying there's no discussion to be had. This video tells us nothing about Nigeria. What do you think?
I don't think that's entirely true because, you know, this is something that happened in Nigeria in a small community in the Niger Delta region. But as some of the other discussions have said, it's widespread. It happens in several parts of Nigeria. I grew up in a little town called Boko in Benue State. And I saw that happening. I remember returning from school one day when I was just about 8 or 9 years old, and I saw three people being burned, and I was told that they were robbers. So it's something that has been there for a while now. It's interesting that people are now paying attention to it, and it's coming out, especially because people are using more and more tools, social media, to put it out there so that we have an honest conversation about whether this reflects the true Nigerian society or not.
But I'm interested, Atom, this is interesting. You've seen that video and thought, someone's put that online because I need to let the world know what's going on. I watched it and thought, someone's videoed this because they think it's justice or they think it's funny in a warped sort of way, and I'm going to share it. You seem to have drawn a different conclusion to me.
Oh, well, I can tell you, I haven't seen the video, first of all, because I couldn't bring myself to seeing it. But there are two things there. First of all, I think that people are putting out this video because they want to stir some kind of emotion that people will respond to. That's the first perspective. But there is another perspective. There are people who just are just mischievous, who just want to put this video out there and say, hey, look how brutal we can be. But there are things that we can learn from this. First of all, I think that because of the nature of the Nigerian society, where it's difficult for things like this to be reported in the traditional media, people putting this video out there and stirring this kind of emotion and reaction helps to drive the conversation. And I remember, let me just make this point quickly, someone saying that this reflects poor policing in Nigeria. I don't think that is entirely true. It's not a question of the police not intervening in this situation. It's a question of even the Nigerian police itself perpetrating acts like this.
Thank you.
I remember that a year or two ago, and let me just quickly make this point. You remember the situation in Maiduguri where the officers of the Nigerian police force rounded up members of the Boko Haram and in broad daylight shot them.
We don't have to talk about incidents in that city in the distant past. We can talk about incidents in that city in the last couple of days where there are widespread reports that police have
killed
30 civilians. And my colleague here from the Africa Service can bring us more details. But I'm right. The Nigerian police say it doesn't happen. But several independent reporters have seen civilians' bodies on the streets in that
police
part of Nigeria.
Them.
Which brings me to the point of the importance.
Let me just get the details on this.
Yeah, the major problem has been that we've had cases of people being shot and killed by security agencies, and people even have it because when these things are happening, you don't have the courage to bring your video or anything or your phone to record anything. And even if you go to put, more like tender an evidence, there's not evidence to tender. And even if you go to report to the police, who are you reporting to? They actually deny it unless, there's actually more than enough evidence. And even at that, the authorities will always come and tell you nothing of such happened. We will have an incident today, which is something which happened a few days ago of soldiers reportedly killing people. But as I speak to you now, I just came out from the newsroom and, the army has actually denied that they killed anybody.
Right. I was going to say, Lieutenant Colonel Sagir Moussa has told the BBC the soldiers had not shot any civilians, but there are a number of claims that up to 30 civilians were shot dead in this city in the northeast of Nigeria. And this is one of the main sites of the battleground, really, between Boko Haram, the Islamist militants, and the Nigerian army. Conflicting reports, but AP, AFP, Reuters all had actually reporters in that town.
We have people, right? People who actually trust their sense of judgment, who have actually told me that, look, I saw some of these bodies and we interviewed them in our news bulletins and they've actually confirmed that these killings happened. This is actually something that goes on almost every day.
Every minute.
Like they said, this one is just like people are like, suddenly realizing the need to actually bring some of these issues to the fore.
Yes. Now, let's go back to Akechi Okorie because we haven't heard from him yet in Lagos. Atom gave us his perspective. What's yours?
Well, I think that, just like he said, this is a very widespread phenomenon. And in the beginning of this new civilian dispensation in Nigeria, when vigilante groups emerged in various parts of the country, particularly in the southeast where I come from, we had incidences where the Bakassi Boys, one of the vigilante groups, would arrest people suspected to be armed robbers, and then cut off their heads or burn them alive. Recently in Lagos, about a month ago, we also had a similar incident where a young man was mobbed, accused of possessing some diabolical powers. So this is quite frequent, and I think that it speaks to the fact that there seems to be a public loss of confidence in the criminal justice system in Nigeria. Nigerians don't trust the police to be able to, effectively investigate, and they also don't trust the courts. The police themselves also do not trust the courts to be able to effectively dispense justice, and so people resort to taking the laws into their hands and dispensing justice. But this,
But I must come back to this, and perhaps our guests in London can pick up on this. Even if you have frustrations with every element of the police service and the justice system, it's still a big leap to go from feeling that
yes
to doing what was done to those men.
No, yes. But I don't think it is, because you have to understand the context. The people in that village for years have been traumatized by armed robbers, rapists and kidnappers. So it is easy for us to sit in London and judge and say human beings can't do things like that. But they can. If your daughter or son had been raped in the past, you've lost all hope, and you'd resolve within yourself that the next time a robber comes here, I will kill him. Unfortunately, these kids happen to be innocent. But you have to understand the context in which these things are happening.
But there's a question there. You're accusing these boys of stealing telephones, mobile phones, and laptops. Yeah. Where are the items that stole? Because normally, when villagers arrest people who are accused of stealing anything, they will make you carry those things, so as evidence. Why parading you? So that people will be sure that you actually committed this offense. That's actually normally what happens. But in this case, there's no, evidence to actually show that these boys stole any phone or anything. So it's actually not, that's why, not like I'm holding brief for anybody, but these are still puzzles. Yes. People are still wondering what could have actually happened.
Yes. I think
Sorry, Alice, let our guest in Lagos carry on and then I'll come back to you, I promise.
Yes.
Yeah, there is a general disposition among Nigerians, especially the average Nigerian in the street, to, respond the way this mob responded, especially, given the increasing rate of, violence, crime, armed robbery, and all sorts of other forms of crime, and against the background that the people do not believe that the police can solve provide security. And so the general thing is for all you need to do is to accuse somebody of being an armed robber and the mob descends on them. So that is the point I'm making about people not, having confidence in the criminal justice system. And if you consider that this happened for a period of 3 hours and police could not intervene until these four, young men had died, it tells you how inefficient, our policing system is.
Well, all of you in Lagos and all of you at Port Harcourt Radio, thank you very much for your contributions. We're going to carry on talking about this in the second edition of World Have Your Say, which those of you listening now won't hear. So those of you in Lagos and Port Harcourt, please don't go anywhere. Ejik has just posted on our Facebook page, "This is so stupid and makes no sense to me," and he's talking about our discussion. "We have incidents like this in the UK. How dare you question our unity," and he means Nigerian unity, "because of one isolated incident. I don't know why you guys derive so much joy in denigrating our country." Well, the BBC voices on this programme haven't been taking sides. The reason we did the story on today's programme is because we went online and we could see hundreds and hundreds of Nigerians having a discussion about this video and what it said about their country. But Obi, do you think that this is another example of the Western media, the mainstream media, being too quick to focus on Nigeria's problems?
No. I'm one of those people who is very sensitive to the sometimes critical of the Western media's interest in what's happening in Africa and Nigeria in particular. But I think this is, Michael said earlier on that we need to get our heads out of the sand and start to focus on our problems, because, you know, we can't criticize the West. This is a Nigerian problem, and we have to be man enough to say, you know, we need to deal with it.
Nigerians need to wake up to the fact that Nigeria is in serious trouble, in a country where a human being can do this to a fellow human being. That country has problem.
Well, this is not about denigrating anybody. I believe in openness. I believe in open conversations. Something has happened in Nigeria. We must talk about it.
And if you go on Twitter, those of you listening, and look up "This is not a country" as a hashtag, you'll see a big discussion among Nigerians.